All right, get your tissues. This is going to be a sad one.
Tim.
What?
I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And so are you.
Yeah. Oh, there's such a good quote that I wish I had right in front of me.
It came out of left field.
The one certainty, or no, our one instinct is life. Our one instinct in life is to survive, but our only one guarantee in life is that we all die.
One instinct is to survive.
Our main instinct as humans is to survive.
Yeah.
But the only guarantee in life, the only guarantee is that we all die.
Right.
And how crazy is it's like a sick game.
Yeah.
Because our human instinct below everything else is, how do I survive? How do I survive?
Yeah. I'm just going to give everyone a warning. I might come across as a complete dick in this episode, but they are my thoughts. Like, this is how I handle and I process this stuff. It's how I think about it. I might be a total dick too. I'm not sure.
Well, at the end of the episode, you can make your decision, listener, but we're sitting
some here, people already know.
We're sitting here talking about what we should make this episode about. And John brought up some situations that happened in his life. And there's a situation that happened to a friend of mine recently who was in a car accident. And he's now, at the point of this podcast being recorded, he's still in a coma. He had major brain trauma. And so hopefully, you know, all signs point to him pulling through, but just how life can really change in the matter of seconds. And we know that as people, like even little kids know that. What happened to my pet? Oh, your pet died. My pet was just here. You know, kids see this at a young age too, mm-hmm. but as you get older and older and you develop these bonds with people and friendships and family, and then starting to see as time inevitably goes on, people are going to start passing away. Mm-hmm. And it just really is like a little knife poking you in the side reminder, like, by the way, clock's ticking. And not that you should live your life in fear of death and fear of getting in accidents and stuff, but like that is a reality that that can happen at any time.
Yeah.
And
I don't even know where to start.
Just dive in.
Well, this week I found out, I found out this week a friend of mine from growing up passed away. I'll just be honest, I didn't know her well. In fifth grade, she was like the first girl that ever really paid any attention to me, mm-hmm. that I was aware of anyway. And we hung out at school, we were in band together. And then summertime hit, and that was it. Like, I just, you know, when you're in fifth grade and summertime rolls around, like, you just play with your neighbors, you know? And then it wasn't until like seventh grade, I was doing something stupid, like just being my goofy self. And she like looked at me in disgust and was just like, I can't believe I went out with you in the fifth grade. I was like, huh, is that what that was? And I was like, oh, wow. I had no idea. Like, but that just shows my, lack of awareness towards relationships like that. But she, you know, I know that going through high school was really nice. Dated a guy in high school. They ended up getting married, having a kid, and really, you know, from what I hear, is just a really sweet, caring person. And, you know, passed away last week. And it was just like, it was a blow. It was like, wow, you know. And anyway, and then like your friend, you saying your friend was in a coma, was in a car accident. Just like, holy shit.
Yeah, like, I think as human, oh, man. Oh, I thought of a whole other road we can go down, but
you can go down any road.
Yeah. I just think we just forget about that, even though it's a common thought, like even though it's a no brainer, like, duh, of course we're all going to die. It's like, well, what happens whenever it happens close to you, to a friend, a person you just spoke with a couple of days prior, and all of a sudden you can't talk to them anymore.
Yeah.
It just makes you realize how fragile your life is. And, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I remember, you know, when Emily went and had her surgery and it didn't hit me until like I had to go out to the waiting room and I was sitting there by myself. It was before her sister had come in and I was like, holy shit. Like, you know, it sounds very morbid, but like this might be the last time I see my wife alive. Mm. Like I knew it was, I mean, it's a safe, I mean, but anything can happen. I mean, you're opening up her head. Like, who knows what could have happened? Like, for, she is forever going to be changed regardless from this, of, from this surgery. Mm-hmm. You know, we knew she was going to lose hearing. That's ultimately, it's a struggle for her, but like, even that changes our relationship. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, our relationship is forever going to change, and who knows? She might die. And like, mm-hmm. that hit me like, and right now there is nothing I can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to like sympathy, I suck at it. I'm horrible being sympathetic. Because I think my first tendency is to just not talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just shovel it away, put it aside, and I don't know how to be there for people in horrible situations. Like, I can try, but I don't know. Like, my best bet is just, John, just don't fuck it up. Just try to be nice. But like, even when my son like messes up or does something like, or gets himself hurt because he's goofing around, like I'm like, well, shouldn't have been goofing. Like, I have zero sympathy, and I suck at that as a parent. Like, you know, when he's riding his bike now and he's doing something like swerving around the road or like not paying attention, or, you know, I'm just like, buddy, like I yell at, instead of teaching and correction, I yell it because I think I'm scared.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is like the first big thing that they're both doing,
mm-hmm.
that they're, gosh, they're mobile now. Like, sure, they can walk and run, but now they're mobile on wheels.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to want to start going further and further away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary.
Yeah, it is.
They're like, hey, can we go ride over to the school? No, no, no. Only if I'm there. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then even when I'm there, I want to make sure that they're doing everything right, to make sure that like, hey, the car will win every time. And I don't want to create a spirit of fear, but at the same time, I want, and there's a fear there, that makes me realize like they're on bikes now and anything could happen to them. Now, how often do you hear of kids getting hit by bikes?
Yeah.
Hardly ever.
Right. But the chances there,
you know, I mean, you think back, like we rode our bikes everywhere when we were kids, but people weren't on phones in their cars when we were kids. Like, mm-hmm. There wasn't the amount of distracted driving that was there. So
mm-hmm. I think a lot of it comes down to control too. Us trying to control the situation and controlling the outcome. And it's like, you can't control all these variables. I can't control if a car just drives into my house right now. Mm-hmm. If a person speeds down my road, loses control and barrels into my house, I can't control that.
Yeah.
And so I think people live their life then in fear, and they start putting up they start putting up like iron fences around their house, and they put slow down signs on the starts of every street. And these people just, they try to baby proof their environment to stop them from dying. But then they eat dinner that night and they choke on a piece of steak and die.
Yeah.
Like my mom just told me a story of someone that she knows, or it was either my mom or my brother told me a story that someone recently that they know, was eating dinner with their family at a restaurant recently, a couple weeks ago, and the dad took a bite of steak and it went down the wrong pipe and died right there in the restaurant.
That sucks.
In front of everybody.
Holy shit.
And like, imagine going out to eat with your family on a Thursday night, and you know, everyone's healthy, everyone's happy. Whoop, goes down the wrong pipe. No one can get CPR done fast enough and dies right there in front of you. Like, that's just crazy. That happened. That happened here. Like, right, you know, it's just, not that you should live in fear, but, well, you know, I guess.
Well, speaking of control, I mean, the fact that, I mean, how do we control death all the time? I mean, it probably goes back years. I was talking about this with my wife the other day, and she gets like, I can tell she doesn't like talking about it, but I guess I don't have the awareness of what other people like to talk about or not talk about. And I'll just kind of do it like it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about like, well, I was talking about how do I want to word it? We basically breed unhealthy humans today. Like, if you go back 10,000 plus years ago, death was normal.
Mm-hmm.
It was natural. Like, people died at, you know, and during birth, people died. I didn't realize how loud that candle was until you blew it out.
Dude, I know.
I'm like all distracted.
It was that Woodwick candle.
But like the people died during childbirth. The kids were stillborn. They died. Like kids died. Adults died. Like it was a part of life was death. Mm-hmm. A very real part of life was death. And now today people want to shelter themselves from even the death of animals and mm-hmm. they want to go vegan because, oh, the poor animals. And like we're afraid of death. It's not normal. Like it's mm-hmm. not a natural part of our lives. And, you know, and now.
It's probably the most natural part of our life.
Yeah, like you said, it's the only thing that's guaranteed in our life is that we die.
Yeah, the only
thing. It's not even guaranteed that we're going to be born.
Right.
But we will, if we get born, we're all dead.
Yeah.
We're all going to die.
It's a clock ticking down.
Yeah. Except for maybe, was it Ted Williams or Lou Gehrig or one of those guys that got frozen somewhere?
I don't know. yeah, unless that technology comes out.
Which... I think it already is actually, which is really
cryogenically
creepy.
Freeze yourself for 100 years
or cells or something that you could basically create yourself in the future.
I've seen stuff like that. You can create another version of yourself.
Yeah, which is kind of cool.
Put your mind in another vessel.
I wouldn't want to torture somebody growing up as me. That son of a bitch made me himself.
Who wants to live that long, man?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, because I was thinking about now, you know, the whole goal of survival. 10,000 plus years ago was to reproduce mm-hmm. your gene. Like if you didn't have good genes to survive to reproduction age, you just died. Mm-hmm. So anybody that was born and made it to reproductive age had really good genes, was really strong, didn't have any defects or anything like that. So you had really strong rays of people, mm-hmm. you know, and then as time progressed and life got easier and we've developed colonies and civilizations, well, it's easier to live longer. It's easier to live to reproduction age. So even if you were born with some kind of a genetic deficiency or genetic trait that maybe left you susceptible to death in the wild, you could now live a little bit longer mm-hmm. and have babies and then pass that trait along to your babies. So now fast forward to now, I'll just be honest, there's so many people that shouldn't be having babies. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be. I mean, you could argue that I shouldn't have either. Mm-hmm. You know, and quite frankly, we wouldn't have if it wasn't for modern day technology. So on one hand, it's fantastic. Mm. On the other hand, is it what we should be doing? Mm. Like just having all of these people have babies that have genetic defects, all of these things that would otherwise would have killed them. And then the control of keeping people alive longer than they should have.
People profit on that. Keeping them. There's people out there that profit on keeping you sick. But not dead, just sick enough to where you need the medical system.
Yeah, or I mean, even just even as young people, like being able, like if somebody got into an accident, they would have died, but we know how to keep them alive, and then we keep them alive.
Now, I mean, but again, like in my mind, I think that's a great thing.
There's the rub. It is, but is it good for humanity and the whole Earth, really? And that's a question. That's where I always get hung up. I think it's a great thing because people are awesome and we have good relationships with people and people get a chance at life, but it's unnatural. Yeah. And anything unnatural, the Earth's always going to win. Mm. Win every time. Mm-hmm. So is it right? And that's where I think I lose a lot of people because I'm like, I think it's amazing. However, most of us should be dead already. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I broke my leg in the first grade, there would have been no cast. There would have been nothing. It probably would have gotten infected. I would have walked with a limp. Therefore, I would have been weaker and I probably would have died. Hmm. That would have been normal. Hmm. I would have been fine with that.
How did John die? Yeah, broken leg, never got fixed.
Right. Sister pushed him off the bookshelf. Yeah. You know, she killed him. But that would have been, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, we are so desensitized to what would have been death because we can keep people alive now. You know, and I think it just then makes it that much harder to say goodbye when it does happen. Realizing because it doesn't happen a lot. It happens to some people, which is unfortunately, I mean, you've had death close to your family and it's a hard thing to talk about.
The term untimely death always confused me. Say a 7-year-old dies of cancer, an untimely death.
What makes it untimely?
Right. And I guess like that's the thing that they never got to live a full life. Like that's the argument is, you know, they never got to live, you know, till the maturation age of whatever, 80 or 90, whatever people are living into now, 80, 90 years old. If you're lucky, most people are 50, 60 anymore with like heart disease, but like, just, you know, never got to live a full life. And in my mind, I always got hung up on the cutoff point. Well, where's the cutoff point?
Right.
If you die at 45, is that untimely? 55. 55, you got to live a pretty good life. But 45, is 35 untimely? Is, you know, like there is no good time to die. Like, I guess is what I'm getting at. Like, you know, I have a grandpa I mentioned on the podcast who's going to be 90 this year. And him and I were talking that day I mentioned on the podcast, and he was mentioning how a lot of his friends that he grew up with are dead. And that like tripped me out for a second. Cause again, that's a duh statement. But I thought like, wow, if I live to 80 or 90, the chances of everyone who I love right now being with me is very low.
Yeah.
You know, my mom won't be there. Who knows if my brother will be there? Like, chances are if I'm 90, you're not going to be there. You know, like all these people that I know aren't going to be there, and I'm just going to be on this earth. Yes, I'll have new people in my life, but I'm just going to be here. Like everyone I love and loved is dead. And like, I was just like, wow, like that's crazy. Like, I don't know. I just found that like, or, and taking a different road with that thought, even someone who's 90 or 95, if they die, it still really sucks because you spent all those years with that person and now they're gone. And it's like, yes, they had a quote full life. But it's in my mind, like, I don't know, the whole untimely thing is just like a narrative people say.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Then we could be like, well, what makes it a full life?
And that's, yeah, exactly. Is life about the quality or the quantity?
Right. And what if you were depressed for the majority of your 90 years?
And you're miserable.
And you weren't happy.
You treated people like shit.
Would that be a full life? Just because you hit some made up age of what you're supposed to live to?
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a hard pill to swallow. Cause like, I think about, you know, I think about, we hear of a story of someone being kept on life support or something like that. And we struggle with that idea. But like, what if it's like your kid, you know? Or what if my mom gets into a car accident on life, you know, like,
yeah.
You tell the doctor, it's not natural. This wouldn't happen years ago. So take her off. Like, no, like in my mind, if the option's there to keep her alive.
Yeah. Yeah. But who are we to decide? Who all of a sudden decided, hey, let's make this machine to keep people alive a whole lot longer than they should have. And then the decision to use it is on the person's family.
Yeah. Yeah. Or
like, what a shitty thing to do. All of a sudden, hey, do you want to kill your mom or your sister or your kid? Or do you want to try to keep them alive with this machine that we made that we're going to bill you out the ass for and you're never going to pay for it?
It makes you an animal if you're like, no, don't use the machine.
Be like, listen, they were supposed to, you know, and it's weird. Well, how about this one? How about all the people when someone dies, everyone's like, oh, well, God gained another angel and it must have been their time. Would they should, if there was a tragic accident and the choice to put them on life support or not, they should say no. 100% hands down no, because this was their time to die according to God. Right?
It's almost like the movie Final Destination. You've seen that movie where they cheat death and then death comes back around after them because it's like, that was your time and you skipped it. So now death is coming back for you. And it's kind of like, not that that actually happens, but you know, I think that's a very common thing. It's not your time till it's your time. That's what everybody says.
Yeah. Man, that is a good one. I would be interested how many people who truly believe that if God has a reason for it and there's an accident, they should say, nope, no medical intervention, no nothing. God said it was it. And there are some groups of people that that's what they believe. Mm-hmm. And that's what they do. Like
no medical intervention at all.
No medical intervention. I mean, and people look at them like they're freaks, but I'm like, but they're probably living a more natural life than any one of us.
And they're probably living a more fulfilling life because they realize the number of the counting, the clock ticking. You know what I mean? Because if you know you don't have, it's almost like a video game. Whenever you play a video game, if your character of Mario has 10 lives, you're going to blow through those courses like you don't give a shit. Because if you fall in a pit or get eaten by one of the flower PD piranhas, you're popping back up and starting the course again. Mm-hmm. You have a fail safe.
Yeah.
But if you're playing on Mario and you have no extra lives, you know, after this run, if you fall, it's a wrap. You probably like savor it and you take your time and you probably like, you know, you're not mindlessly blowing through life.
Yeah. And you get one chance to beat the game.
Yeah.
You don't get to try again.
Yeah. And whereas now we like, oh yeah, I'll eat like shit because I can fall back on this. Oh yeah, I'll drive fast because if, you know, I mean, not that, but I'm just saying like there's so much like a springboard back to health for lucky people, I guess. But like, mm-hmm. I think we do take life for granted. Yeah. Is maybe what it boils down to.
I think those people that do, whether it's Amish or Mennonite, I don't remember, that don't utilize, I know it's probably hard for them because what if something does happen to your kid and you know that the, you know, modern day medicine could help them.
Mm.
And then you start questioning, well, should we or shouldn't we? Like, it's totally normal. Like, and nobody would blame them. It's like, yeah, go get them some like antibiotics or something like that if they got an infection or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, it's just crazy to think about that they're probably living a more normal life knowing mm-hmm. that this is our one life
mm-hmm.
and it's up to us to take care of it. We're not going to rely on medications to reverse whatever lifestyle disease we've caused for ourselves, you know, mm-hmm. or, this is it. This is all we got. Mm. So take care of it. And if something did happen, something happened.
Mm.
You know, they're not making decisions willy-nilly like this is a, you know, like in the primal blueprint that it's one of the things, don't make stupid decisions.
Mm.
Because, gosh, if you make a stupid decision and you slice your leg on a rock and you don't have modern medicine to help take care of you, like that could be your death.
Mm-hmm.
Just a simple surface wound. If it gets dirty, right. It's like you don't want to make these dumb decisions. It might get you hurt or injured. Now we don't like, we can do all this crazy shit and like, it doesn't matter. If we get hurt, we'll just go to the doctors or the
right.
And like, and then corporations, you mentioned before, make billions and billions of dollars of people not taking their life seriously.
That's it.
You period. Know,
not, you're not taking it seriously.
There's a huge, market there for medications, for services, for all of that stuff. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And I really do think it comes down to control. And like we talked about on the last episode, you have a narrative in your head. And whenever something doesn't go to the narrative in your mind, you marry somebody. You don't marry somebody with the thought that they're going to be dead in 2 years. Like if, I mean, there are people out there that have done this.
Or it's okay. I'll just get a divorce if it doesn't work out.
Yeah. But I mean, think about this scenario. And again, there's people out there that would believe in true love and they would probably still sign the dotted line. But what if we all walked around with our expiration dates above our head? And mm-hmm. I'm not going to put this on you and Emily, so I'll use Bobby and Susie as an example. Mm-hmm. So say Bobby meets Susie and Bobby is like, damn, Susie's incredible. And Susie's like, oh, my expiration date's 2 years though. Like I'm going to die in 2 years. Would Bobby tie his finances to Susie? Would he, you know, would he buy a house with her? Would well, he?
Does Susie have a good life insurance payout?
Yeah, right.
That'd be a big question.
Right. But like, you know, marry her. And again, there are people out there that have done this. You know, I'm not saying people with terminal illnesses shouldn't find love. Like that's not what I'm getting at. Oh man, this is dangerous ground.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Okay. Stop. Should people with terminal illnesses put some, like, should just be like, listen, I'm going to die soon. So I'm not even going to let you get close to me because I know I'm going to die.
But they need love. People need love.
They could do, but with the caveat, hey, man, if you want to, that's fine. I'm just letting you know I'm going to die soon.
Yeah.
So if you want to get close, but I'm going to die soon.
Yeah. Or it's like people who buy pets at the end of their life that, so they give the pet a loving, caring home on the last couple of years of its life. Like there are people that dedicate their life to that, you know, or there's people that spend their time with elderly people in their last coming, like their last weeks before death. They kind of go around and make them feel loved and joyful. And
yeah.
So like there is like a need for that, I think. But I guess what I'm saying, like biologically, I don't know. I guess it's just like we try to control the situation so much. It's like we almost act as if whenever I marry you, it's like, okay, this pact takes us to the freaking end. And you picture you and your wife down the road, you know, gray hair sitting on the porch and your kids are grown and healthy. And you're like, we fucking did it. You know what I mean? Like we did it. We beat the game. You know what I mean? And like, I think that's what people think about when they get married. And it's like, I do think it comes down to letting go of control. And being like, I choose you. And if the fates decide to take you away from me tomorrow, like in this moment, I made the best choice. Like, that's almost how you have to live, is letting go of the control of the fact that, like,
do you think that I think that a lot of it is we have so many easy outs.
It's an out.
To so much of our lives that leaves very little room for any negative consequences. Like, that's one of the things, like, growing up with kids, like, what if they're doing something wrong, but there's not an immediate negative consequence? Mm-hmm. You've got to teach them, like, by the way, you just did that okay that time, but it's not going to imprint on their mind. Ooh, I shouldn't have done that because look at what this happened. Like my son who fell down on his bike the other day. Mm. That was an immediate negative consequence of going around a corner or making a turn too fast. He knew, okay, don't do that. But what if he went on a corner too fast and was okay? Mm-hmm. But I knew it was a dangerous move. Hey, buddy, that was dangerous. Nothing happened that time, but you could have fallen. Like, it's not going to – but we have so many easy outs now. If we do something stupid and get hurt, we'll just go to the doctor. Like, if we get married and we realize it's not working out, we'll just get a divorce.
Let's get a divorce.
There's so many easy outs that none of us have had to really experience any major negative consequence of anything we've done to help us understand the fragileness of life, if that makes sense.
And then the people who then have something happen to them where they truly are a victim, say you're driving the speed limit, you got your seat buckle on, you're paying attention, and a truck just freaking clips you.
Yeah.
You know? And so people talk about fairness then. Well, life isn't fair to that person. It's not fair. Mm-hmm. Again, whoever's promised that life should be fair or would be fair. That's like a construct we've made up in our minds.
And then I still go back to that's still an issue of modern day living. Because you got in a car. Cars never existed. You know, and you chose to drive somewhere. Well, where are you driving? We wouldn't have normally gone somewhere so far away that we would need a car. Our life was central, was localized, you know. If anything, you'd get on a horse whenever we actually domesticated horses. Otherwise, it was walking, you know. And then our lives, the big tractor trailer on the highway. Well, highways, they're really, you could say they're not. That's not something they're relatively new, you know, since the dawn of automobiles and tractor trailers. Well, because they're delivering goods that now we can order online. So much of that situation is a product of modern day living.
What do you say to the family, though, back in the day where their kid gets thrown off a horse and hits their head on a rock, gets brain dead? What do you say then? Because you can't say that's a product of modern day living.
Well, domestication of horses would be animals to use for your work. I mean, it's still something that would have taken years and years and years to develop. But yeah, in that situation, be like, damn, that sucks. Like,
I think
but whenever you choose to engage in that lifestyle, okay, we're going to use horses for our family. We're going to let our children on horses. We need to make sure that this horse is safe for our child to be on. Like, I still go back to we maybe have gotten less vigilant into what our action, like the consequences of our actions, that maybe they just have ridden horses for a long time and just forgot how dangerous it could be. Mm-hmm. And while it still sucks, I still feel like you just, not that it's their fault. Like, I wouldn't be like, well, shouldn't have let them on a horse. No, I don't think that because they likely have done that many times before, but maybe just forgot that shit happens.
I think that's what, like, it comes down to is you forget that shit happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We get comfortable. Mm-hmm. We get comfortable and forget that there's danger out there. You know, that there are things now, granted, this life it's not that dangerous, but like, I'm surprised there's not more accidents, people texting and driving, to be honest with you.
I'm surprised there's not accidents multiple times in any given area every day.
Mm-hmm. People just got good at it.
maybe we've adapted.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I know this, I mean, we were kind of all over the place so far. Like, I don't know that I will ever land on any one point other than, you just still have to, like, maybe it's just me always kind of living with this sort of anxiety, not anxiety, but like caution or awareness of the danger that could happen. And I don't know if that's something that maybe you're just brought up being aware. Like, if you're brought up in a household where if every little thing you do might create chaos, maybe you're just growing up looking, making sure things are, like a risk auditor for like an insurance company. You're like, I might want to not do that because of this thing that could happen. Mm. We went on a night hike with the scouts the other night and walked for the first part of the hike up through boulders and, you know, a really cool trail, the White Rock Acres Trail. And then we stopped the top of the mountain until it got dark and then walked down, you know, downhill, you know, in the dark with flashlights. And I was like, let's set the over under at 6 for how many kids fall down. And nobody did. Hmm. Like, even though some of the kids were kind of running down the trail, even some without flashlights, like jumping all around, nobody fell down. Nobody did nothing. And the whole time I'm just kind of like, we're keeping a really strong pace here. And there's some kids are just not paying attention. And I couldn't believe that nobody got hurt. Hmm. But my spidey sense of like my anxiety wasn't high, but I was like, we should be more cautious, mm-hmm. but we weren't. It wasn't my hike. I just along for the ride. Mm-hmm. If it was up to me, I'd have been like, no, y'all can stay behind me. I'll set the pace and make sure we go nice and slow. But nothing happened. Hmm. Does that mean that it's safe to do that? No way.
No.
Like, is it relatively safe? Sure. Does that mean you can take anybody on that trail? No. But I think, like I said, because no negative consequence happened, now these kids might think like, oh, I can hike these trails all the time in the dark and nothing's going to happen. Mm. And not know that, no, something could happen because there was some areas there where if a kid fell in the dark, could have killed him. Mm. It really could have killed him because there was rocks. If you hit your head on a rock, it could have broken bones. That's saying not, it sounds like, well, John, what do you even do? I'm like, I'm the guy that runs downhill, like in the mud last weekend and rides my bike. Like, I'm not afraid, but I just still feel like, you know, people need to be aware, like mm-hmm. constantly vigilant of all of the things that could kill them or hurt them or make their, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if other people think about that stuff the way I do or not, but I always feel like I'm hyper aware of danger.
It could be, and that could be like a way that you grew up, like being hyper aware, like is dad home? Is he going to say, like, you grew up with those senses.
Yeah.
Did they hear me accidentally break that vase?
Yeah, if I do this, or is they going to yell at me or something like that?
And, yeah. You kind of analyze the situations, but.
And I wouldn't say it's a bad thing. I feel like I'm appreciative of that, being aware of the things that could go south.
Mm-hmm. You know, I do think what you said, and it's like such a common phrase, shit happens. And people might look at that as extremely insensitive, and that's obviously not something that you would say to someone who was just in a life-changing injury. You wouldn't be like, hey, shit happens. You know, that they're in a hospital bed, and, you know, you wouldn't say that. But I do think that ultimately is what life boils down to. It's like, I think we as humans love narratives, and we love finding, there's got to be a reason why this happened. There's got to be a reason why this person was hit by this car, mm-hmm. or they take an injury in their life and they take it as like a sign that they need to change their ways. You know, ever since I got my accident, I stopped cheating on my wife. You know, I realized life is too short and I stopped cheating on my wife. And sometimes it takes you getting into an accident to realize, you know, whatever the narrative would be. And hey, if you can find personal growth and things, that's fine, I guess. But in my opinion, I really do think that like life is so unfair that shit just happens and there's no rhyme or reason sometimes. Mm-hmm. Just there's too many people. There's too many variables going on. Things are bound to break. You know, that's just like, and that's maybe as simple as it has to be. You know, I have a friend who was walking down the streets of Harrisburg. He was minding his own business. He wasn't doing anything shady. He got jumped out of nowhere, got his jaw broken. He had to have his mouth wired shut. He had to eat through a straw for months it's like a long time. And he's like a good friend of mine. And if it wasn't him, it would have been someone else. It's just a random, you know, it's like someone tossing the die and the die hits the table and it's like, all right, this person's going to hit this person. Well, wait, what? Well, I don't know. It's random. Like, I think that's what happens in life sometimes. And we try to look at this big picture and there's just too many of us and too many of us doing our own thing. That's how I view it.
Yeah. I talked for a while. I was going to let you do the same thing.
I mean, that's really how I sum it up is like, you know, as sad as it is to lose someone that you love and as sad as it is for someone to be in an accident, that's not to say that you just look at them and you're like, well, so be it. Or I do think that there is something to be said if someone survives an accident that you sympathize with them and you're there for them and you help them pick them up out of a dark place. Like, that's not to say you're just cold and callous, but I think when it comes to the act of death, which is so finite and permanent, you kind of have to look at it and be like, yeah.
Yeah. Cause you want to, it is the one thing that's going to happen to every single mm-hmm. one of us. And I think it would be foolish to think that we knew when that was.
Mm-hmm.
And you just never know.
People, I hear so many parents like, I don't want to bury my kids. And
well, you might have to. So,
well, you might have to.
Yeah.
There's a very strong chance of there's a really, you know, I kind of want to end with this because I know you'll agree with this topic. Like, I was driving the other day and I was just thinking about how many cars are on a road and how many cars travel on a given day in a certain area.
Mm-hmm.
And a long time ago, you and I talked about, why don't we do more communal living? Like, why isn't it that we all have, why isn't it that like 15 or no, why isn't it like five families live in like a giant house and we all help share the resources? Mm-hmm. Instead, we as humans all believe that our individual existence matters and we all need to have the exact same thing. And so it's not like, instead of five people having one house and all of us chipping in towards food, now all of them need to have their own houses and they all need to have their own pantries and they're all need to have their own stoves and they all need to have their own cars. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just one of everything, if not two of everything per person to have. And I was just thinking like how insane that is, like how there's so many agendas and there's so many storylines and there's so many wants and desires all like conflicting and converging on a given day.
Is this just understanding like,
and accidents are going to happen whenever you have that many. It's like putting like a bunch of fireflies in a jar and saying, don't hit one another. It's like, there's going to be shit that happens with the,
I mean, like it would be like equivalent of me giving each one of my chickens their own coop and run.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Why would I do that?
Right.
But yet that's what we do as humans.
Yep. Each person has to have their own living room, their own car, their own everything.
Like my neighbor just bought a really sweet zero turn lawnmower, you know, and I'm over here push mowing. And he's like, dude, you can use it. I'm like, no, first thing, I don't want to, because
mm-hmm.
I would like it and I want to buy one. But then I'm like, well, I mean, why couldn't a block of people
all share it,
all pitch in and pitch in $300 or $400 for a lawnmower? I mean, they could set a contract out like, this is going to be our lawnmower. It's going to be this much money, but every year we're going to make sure we do this. Here's responsibilities. If you break it, here's what's going to happen. There's got to be a pool of people, whatever. Or maybe there's a designated lawnmower where, listen, hey, you really like mowing? You're going to mow everyone's yard. We'll all pitch in and
we'll pay you to do it. Yeah.
Here's a mower. Like, then, you know, it's figuring, but is it because we just don't want to sit and figure it out? Like, do people not want to be that close to other families that aren't their family to share that kind of financial burden? And is this just part of life? There are no rules. We mentioned that there are no rules. There are no God. Like, somebody just made it up along the way, and this is the way it is.
I think the reason why it's this way is because businesses profit more so this way.
How much of our lives is just run by corporations? I had this thought this morning. How much of our lives is dictated by corporations, and we don't even know it? It just slips in, and we all of a sudden we start doing things a certain way because somebody with a lot of money said this is the way we should do it.
And once you give it to someone, you can't take it back, man. Like, we're already too far gone. Like, imagine if someone came to my block, these row of houses, and they said, hey, everybody, we found it more economically friendly if we all just kind of group you into a house. You're all going to get two cars to share. You know, Tim, you got cooking for everyone on Monday. And Barbara, you got cooking for everyone on Tuesday. You know what I mean?
About this? People we'll hire a chef.
Right.
None of us have to cook, but we'll hire a chef.
But I think that everyone would revolt because we are all so used to having our own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that if, I'm dreaming of what could be. And I think that if we lived in a society that had less things going on, there'd be less variables of accidents happening. And we'd also be more present in the moment. Like,
I think people living in cities operate that way a whole lot more.
They do.
I mean, sure, they have their own dwelling, where they have their own food and things like that. But outside of that, the building is taken care of with the money that they put forth. They share the same community, the transportation.
There's something to be said about living in a city like New York. Yeah.
You know, so I feel like that people can do that, but the further you get out, like here, it's like, yeah, it does make you think, like, is it? I mean, you just did it. You just moved out and bought your own place. And I was like, no, that's great. I still think it's a good thing.
Yeah, no.
But
because of the times we live in, it's great. But
yeah,
this probably wasn't. I'm living my life in accordance to the time that I'm in.
Right. And who was it that planted that seed in everybody, not just you, but in everybody, that's what you do. You go out and you get your own place.
Even if it doesn't make sense.
The banks that give mortgages. That's who planted the idea. And then the builders that build the houses.
I'm shocked that I was approved for the mortgage I was approved for. I mean, I can afford it, but it's like, really? Really?
Yeah.
You approved me for that much money? Really?
Yeah. It's crazy.
So all that being said, it's sad when people do pass and it's sad when accidents happen. But I think pulling yourself out of the driver's seat and the control seat and just admitting the harsh fact that, like, shit does happen.
We're all going to die.
And we're all going to die.
And nobody knows when. So don't be so holding on to your life that...
Cherish the moment that you do have with those
people. Now's when somebody really sympathetic and empathetic would say, like, that's why everybody close to you, always tell them you love them and always tell them you care for them and treat everybody as if it's your last moment that you'll ever see them.
I struggle with that
too. I'm not that guy. Yeah. I'm not that guy.
Because I know someone like that where they live in constant fear because they had traumatic things happen to them. So now they smother their family.
Yeah.
And anytime a siren happens, anytime it's storming, the other family gets a call. Are you okay? Was that? Yes, I'm fine. Yeah. Yes. Like,
and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, maybe not smothering, but I don't think there's anything wrong with the person that's always like, I always want to make sure my family knows I love them. I care about them. Cause you don't, like, I think that's great.
Yeah. I do too. But
I also will say,
don't live in fear.
Yeah. I also will say, I think your family already knows that. Mm-hmm. Like, they already know that you do, even if you say it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't know that, you're a shitty person. You should die anyway. So,
do you want to talk? Oh man, I don't want to go into this, but
that was awful. I'm so bad.
You should die anyway. I'm trying to save you. Speaking of buffers, remember how we talked about buffers? How people have, if you get married and you don't like it, well, just get a divorce. Yeah. You know, if I want to eat McDonald's every day, well, you know what? I can reverse it by
take
some meds.
And, yeah. Or get a gastric bypass or something like that.
Yeah. If I smoke, they have things now that I can, like, you know, I can get wean off like that. People have made a buffer for death. Oh, now I can get to go to heaven. You know what I mean?
It's all right. I'll be with Jesus.
Yeah. It's all right. There's a buffer for people have made a buffer for everything.
Mm-hmm. We need to just all go be brutal to ourselves and just let ourselves suffer
and feel the brutal
and feel it.
Feel it.
Yeah. We don't feel hardship anymore. Well, there's people that feel hardship all the time.
Yeah.
But I think for a lot of us, yeah. they don't.
A lot of us. Yeah.
They forget what a hard life is like.
Mm. That's about it. Yeah. Wait, what's up for us? That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. I know. This was an interesting one to kind of dive through off the cuff.
It's good. That's what Riffin is.
Yeah.
Well, John, I'll let you say bye today. You can say bye to everybody.
Bye, people. Have a nice weekend. Week, whenever this comes out. Oh, did I say die? I meant bye.
It sounded like you said, did you say die on purpose?
I did.
I was like, man, it's like you said die, people.
Die. I'm going to feel like absolute garbage if, like, somebody really close to me dies this week that listens to the podcast.
And you're like, oh.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Well, shit happens. All right. Have a nice week.